Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody.
I'm Sickle.
I'm Everett.
And we're Sickle and Everett, and we are the Unhallowed Reviewers. We're going to jump right into it with This Week in Horror, with just a couple things that we saw in the news before we jump into our top 10 lists for 2018. Go ahead and kick us off there, Ifrit, with what you got.
Sure, so we have been talking about Spawn and Todd McFarlane's Spawn here for at least a few episodes now, and everybody's just kind of apprehensive about what's going to be happening with this movie, you know, what's it going to be like. He keeps saying things that either make people hate what's happening or are really interested in what's happening, and the most recent thing he said is that he said there's no joy, there's not going to be any funny lines in it, and there's just going to be, it's just going to be this dark, ugly 2 hours worth of movie, which is essentially a whole lot of supernatural horror movies anyway. There's not a lot of funny in them, and that seems to be the weird hurdle for a lot of people in the city to get over, because the sort of go-to in superhero Avengers default all the time. So, like, basically he's just saying it's not going to be like your Wonder Woman's or your, your, like, Avengers or your Ant-Man's and stuff like that. He wants to make his own kind of, like, you know, Spawn movie. It's not going to have, like, cheeky lines and jokes and stuff to lighten the mood.
And good.
It's like kind of what people were, like, talking about after the Hellboy thing a little bit. Like, even we talked about it, right? Which was like, uh-oh, there's too many lines. So I wonder what we'll see there, right? Are we going to see, like, a trailer for Spawn eventually that's going to have, like, one joke and people are just going to flip out? Or is it going to be, like, is it going to be, like, fine where, like, everyone's just going to be like, all right, that was probably the one funny line. Everything else is going to be gritty. So it's interesting to hear that, because he's, like, being a pretty vocal, you know, director slash writer slash creator.
Yeah, he's really hyping it up with whatever he's... Like, when he keeps throwing out these controversial ideas that he's going to be putting in the movie, or what you could consider controversial. But, I mean, like, looking back, what are you expecting from Spawn? I mean, they weren't... They mostly are dark, gritty, violent. Really the only, like, sadistically comical character that I can recall was the Violator. I mean, it's not like... There's a lot of goofball stuff where he's dropping one-liners while he's chopping somebody's head off with an axe. Like, he's... No, he's just owning people. Yeah, he's just owning people. And so, like, I like that he's committing to it. We don't need more of the same superhero.
No, we got stuff. Disney's got that on lockdown, so. All right, what do you got to talk about?
I just was going to mention a trailer that I caught this week for Mads Mikkelsen. By the way, who doesn't want to call him Michael Madsen? Like, don't you want to call him Michael Madsen every time you see his name?
I think I did that while we were talking about it before the podcast, so.
No, it's just a natural reaction, even though they're nowhere near the same person. But anyway.
You can't prove that.
Man, that's a lot of makeup work. Also, he'd be like 130 years old. Oh, I'm making that up. Are they the same age? They could be the same age. Mads Mikkelsen. Mads Mikkelsen is doing his best Liam Neeson impression in a movie called Arctic, which looks like a blend between The Gray and Castaway. Where he's stuck in the middle of the Arctic, hence the title, after a plane crash, hence Castaway, and he has to survive the elements, hence The Gray.
Well, so it sounds like stuff that people would watch if you put it into a theater.
It's probably got me hooked, but I don't know. It's not the synopsis. It's more so Mads Mikkelsen. That guy's awesome.
His name is Overgrod in the movie? Overgard? Or something?
Overgard?
Yeah, sounds, I mean, awesome. I'm looking at the cast on IMDb right now, and it's O-V-E-R-G, Swedish A-R-D.
Well, you got that, like, crazy movie, Valhalla Rising, that he was in that kind of, like, put him on the map, sort of, at least for me it did, where I don't even know if he had a name. Does he have a name in that movie? I think he's called, like, No Name or something like that. Dude, that movie is weird. It is funky. And, I don't know. It's hard to recommend it because it's so freaking weird and disturbing. But it basically, that movie opens up with Mads Mikkelsen just, like, brutally killing a guy in this, like, really small the Viking arena type setting. It's not even an arena. That's cool. Not fair to say. But he's just sounds biting this dude because he's supposed to. It's crazy. But I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, there's either like no words or like 10 words. There's like virtually no words in the entire movie. It's weird.
Seems fun. It looks pretty cool just looking at it for a second.
Oh yeah, the cover of it looks sweet.
All right, so let's jump into the top 10 thing. So, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
You go first.
That was probably really annoying for everybody. I'm sorry.
I don't care. they'll get over it.
Or you want me to go first? Okay, so you just want me to do all 10, and you can do all 10? Or do you want to go...
Yeah, let's do... Oh, yeah, you want to go back and forth? Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that. That'll be fun. Forth. All right, so my number 10 is... not a movie. So again, my list is going to contain non-movies on it. It's going to have shows too, because this year was a really good year for horror television.
You're such a rebel.
Yeah, I know. I'm my own demon. wait, that's means something different. My number 10, to probably a lot of people's chagrin, was Sabrina the Teenage Witch. So after watching that on Netflix, I kind of was like, holy hell, man, this show is really dark. There's a lot of pretty gruesome, horrific stuff that happens in that show, and they managed to keep it entertaining through the whole series, and I'm down. It was cool. I want to watch another season. I liked where they ended it, and I liked all the stuff that happened in it, so Sabrina the Teenage Witch was really entertaining for me. I liked how they took that whole, you know, Archie-style comic thing that was happening. They made it really dark and really heavy, and they didn't pull any punches because you used to have a TV show that was meant for kids, right?
But where do you fall on the Church of Satan statue?
I couldn't give a hell crap less. I don't know how to say that without offending you. Just kidding. Basically, I think it's silly that they care, because the whole idealism of the Church of Satan is all about like freedom, and so fudge off.
That. Yep, I agree. I would like to preface the beginning of my list by pointing out that I was a little... I get insecure very easily. I respect Ifrit's opinion a lot. And so when our top 10 list did not match up very well, it makes for great podcasts, but it makes...
But Sickle changed his top 10 list to match mine, so that's what
we're at now. No, it's killer to my self-esteem. But later on, like, way after I made my list, I listened to... You can watch it if you want to, but sometimes I just listen to Watch Mojo's for fun, and their top 10 horror movies for 2018 was very close to mine, and I kind of, like, reinforced that. I was like, hey, I wasn't that far off on what was generally considered good.
Oh, well, that's silly. I mean, everybody's consideration of good is different. I mean, my totally. Top 10's probably never going to match with any kind of, like... top 10 that people are gonna have, because
well, like I said, you're a rebel.
The same things that other people like. Yeah, I have a problem.
That's a good thing. It's a good thing to be original. I just needed some reinforcement because I'm a loser. So my 10, I'm pretty sure was actually the same 10 as Watch Mojo's, if I recall correctly, which is Upgrade. I thought that movie was pretty great. I wouldn't have expected it to make my top 10 list, because it came out earlier in the year. But looking back on it, I was like, yeah, I was pretty entertained by it. And I think the other reason I didn't think it was going to make the list is because it's not straight horror. But I guess there is an element of it that's body horror related. But I guess when I was watching it, I wasn't really thinking body horror. In the sense, yeah, it didn't feel that way to me. It definitely has body horror elements into it. And when somebody brought it up, I was like, oh, I guess it does. But it's not like The Fly. I mean, there's standards that have been, the bar has been set a lot higher. And it just felt more like, it felt more like an action movie with such hyper-violent action scenes that it breached the horror genre. Especially with its ending. Like, the ending definitely has this kind of horror feel to it, but...
Oh, really? I need to see it, because I didn't watch it, and I'm kind of regretting it, and because I really wanted to see it when I saw the trailer, and I just... Now you're just making me want to watch it even more, because I bet it would have been on this top 10 list.
Oh, it's a fun movie. Like, you will be entertained watching it at least once.
It makes me think of Hardcore Henry, kind of, in a weird way, but not the same. It's just kind of the same type of, like, you know, movie in terms of like what it was trying to accomplish.
Great, that's a great example actually, because they both like Hardcore Henry is like Upgrade in some ways is kind of like a mild version of Hardcore Henry, which I'm not saying that they're completely similar.
Yeah.
But it's funny that you bring that up because sometimes I think about Hardcore Henry because I think after I watched Upgrade I was like I kind of want to watch Hardcore Henry again. But, like, Hardcore Henry is way more intense with the action and takes itself less seriously.
Okay.
But Upgrade also doesn't take itself all that seriously, but just has a little less action, but the action's about as much fun with the uniqueness of it.
All right, number nines. I was about to say number eights, but number nines. My number nine was Mandy. So, we talked about this movie on a podcast already, so I'm not going to delve too deeply into it. I thought it was a pretty crazy experience. And something that I have this weird soft spot for Nicolas Cage in my demon hole of a heart. And I don't know why, but I just really like stuff that he's in, and I always get entertained by it. Because I'm one of those dumb people that has always really loved Face Off. So
Face Off is awesome.
When I see that Mandy, it was like a really cool journey. And I think that it was a very unique movie. It had lots of like kind of weird allusions to other horror movies, and it was just a cool experience. It isn't necessarily something I want to watch again, but it's one of the ones that I wouldn't necessarily watch again that did make the top 10, unlike some of the other ones I had. But I actually might watch Mandy again just to kind of redo it, you know? So,
yeah.
But anyway, that's my number 9.
It is a tad too trippy for me, so it didn't end up making my list, but, and I don't want to keep bringing this up because I know, like you said, it doesn't really matter. But just out of, just because it's funny, that one didn't make my list, but it did make Watch Mojo's. I think it was like number 4 on theirs. So you did put one on there that they put on there. My number, you're not original at all.
No.
My number 9 was Venom. It's not. I don't even think if you went to IMDb, it would be putting it in the horror category. But I'm doing it because I feel like
it. I definitely didn't consider it horror, but I can see why one would.
Yeah, and I'm definitely, like, I'm willing, I'm not going to sit here and defend it, like, hey, this is a horror movie because of this, that, and that. It's not, but I think it's the same thing that I would defend somebody that said, like, that, like, because you could say that Hellboy isn't horror, and you could say that Ghost Rider isn't horror.
I think you could even push it as far as saying people that, like, Predator isn't really horror either.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe the first two are more horror, but yeah, I don't know. I still haven't seen this year's Predator because I've got really weird feelings on it based off what you said, but I don't know.
I'm
haven't
sorry.
Watched it. Just because I was like, I really want to watch it, but I don't know if I have time to watch it. So.
I feel like if I'm categorizing it, like if I'm looking at superhero movies, like I would consider it superhero horror. Like, so it's got a certain style to it where it's like, well, this is more lighthearted, it's more, like, just kind of fun action entertainment movie, but it's got this crazy Venom guy that bites people's heads off. I mean, like, how has that not got some horror to it? Anyways, regardless, I love Venom, I love Tom Hardy, the movie wasn't everything I wanted it to be, but I enjoyed it enough that I wanted to put it on the list.
Yeah, it's in my top 10 movies of the year. I just don't think it's one of my top 10 horror films.
That's fair.
Alright, number 8. My number 8 is in a weird spot because I think that nobody else will have this on their top 10 list for the year. Actually, my whole top 10 list is probably like that. But my number 8 is Leprechaun Returns. I just had much fun watching that movie that I can't not give it a spot in the top 10 because I just watched it, and I was like, this is ridiculous, this is awesome, this is so fun, this is, like, what horror is sometimes, like, contrary to Todd McFarlane's beliefs, this is what horror can be when it's done the right way. As you'll see on my list, there's another one in my top 10 that's very much similar to this, and it makes this one make sense because of how it worked. So, yeah, Leprechaun Returns, I thought was really fun.
That's fair. I do consider that, like, I mean, like you said earlier, I put some stake in subjectivity for movies, and my top 10 lists definitely have that. Venom is a perfect example. Like, I don't think it's a, objectively, I don't think it's a very good film. like structurally and a bunch of things. I think it's very flawed, but I enjoyed it enough that I wanted to put it on here. That's why it's low on the list, but it made the list.
Yeah, ditto. And I feel like, here with Leprechaun.
Exactly, and I feel like that there is some like reason to bring that into the equation. Like, hey, I really enjoyed it personally, and I'd watch it again.
I would watch rewatchability Leprechaun again, and that's probably mostly why it's on here. I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, yeah, rewatchability is, I think, is an important factor. It is for me. It definitely affects my ranking for my movies. My number 8 was The Cleanse, which it's a fun movie. It's basically a horror comedy. It reminded me of a much more digestible version of The Lobster. The Lobster is such a hard movie to get through. If you can make it through it, please tell me how you did it.
I've never even heard of that movie.
It's with Colin Farrell, and he goes. I'm gonna break this down for you because it's so weird. Because the synopsis, you think it sounds really interesting, but he goes to this place. It's in like the near future, just like pseudo dystopian or whatever, where he has to go to this like big hotel facility thing, where if you get divorced, you get sent to this facility, and like you have to find your next significant other, or you get turned into an animal that you write down, that they write down for you at the beginning of the session. So like you have like a year or something to find a new significant other, and then if you don't, you get turned into whatever animal you chose at the beginning. So Colin Farrell picks a lobster.
Okay.
And
I'm intrigued.
And that's why it's called The Lobster. Yeah, it sounds interesting, but the way that it is filmed, it's like, it's seriously, like, I can't remember the director's name, but all of his films are like that. It looks like a robot alien came down from space and was like, I can make a Hollywood movie, and he, like, tells the actors to behave the way that he does. Like, he can't. It's weird. But anyway.
So The Cleanse is a better version of this.
Yes! Sorry, yes. The Cleanse is a better version. It's got little fun practical effect monster stuff. Not enough, but it's there. And it's just a charming little piece, and I think that it's got one of the best morals, like moral plots in it. And like the ending is like really profound, I think, for like people, like how you deal with your issues and how they can be confounded with when you're in a relationship. So I think it's really interesting. It was, and I did like the ending, but it's I wish it had a little bit more, so it's a little bit lower on the list.
All right, so our number 7s, I'm gonna keep track of this.
Sevens?
Are I think so. Is that where we're on?
No, you're right. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Is mine is Halloween. So I really liked how they approached the Halloween prequel. I thought it was really cool that they just were like, forget all these other movies. We don't need to worry about any of this stuff. Let's just have one that starts right here. And they did a similar thing with Leprechaun. I thought that was the kind of theme this year, was saying, hey, we've made a lot of movies for these genres, but let's just see what would happen if we didn't. And so,
yeah, let's quit paying homage to the sequels that sucked and just go back to the ones that were good.
The Michael Myers sequels are kind of crazy, like the way they get into the mythos, but I thought Halloween was done really well. I really liked how they positioned the characters and the daughters and the daughters of the daughters thing, and that was kind of cool. And I don't know, just watching another Halloween movie, it's nice to see that stuff kind of still be there. I guess I'm in the same boat as like Leprechaun, where I'm kind of a fan of these cheesy 80s, 90s horror movies, and I just like when they get redone, you know? I like them.
Yeah. That one was, I thought it was good. I remember being pleasantly surprised by the ending, because like the whole movie, especially towards the end, I was like, quit doing stupid things! You're being so dumb! And then, like, the climax happens, I'm like, oh, okay, you did it for a reason.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
crap.
That makes sense.
That's refreshing.
I very underestimated you. Okay,
fair. Yeah, exactly, yeah. My number 7 was, I think this one made your list, too, but maybe higher up, is Overlord.
Actually, yeah, that's my next one, so we'll just lump them into one. So, my number 6 is Overlord, and we'll just talk about Overlord right now.
Yeah, and I feel like me and you pulled a similar sentiment from it, too, in that, like, we felt like it was a good juxtaposition between like actual horror elements and the horror of war, and how the war elements were actually more impactful than the horror elements of it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that movie did a really good job of, like, scaring you of war, or making you understand that this isn't, you know, this isn't something that's, like, supposed to be glorified. It's something that's terrifying. And, oh yeah, by the way, when crazy occult Nazi stuff's happening, it's even worse. So, you know.
Heck yeah. It also makes a great, gritty, dark prequel to Captain America, which they should look into.
Yeah, I like that. There was a comparison out there, and I probably was just bloody disgusting or something, but they compared it to, like, Indiana Jones meets Saving Private Ryan, kind of. And I was like, okay, I guess I could see it. That kind of makes sense. I get it. So, yeah. So, what's your number six?
My number six was Annihilation, a sci-fi horror flick with Natalie Portman. I thought was... I know that the ending was difficult to digest for a lot of people, and it is for me too, but there's just something about it where I like it. I like it occasionally when a movie does that, where it's like, we don't have an explanation for what's happening, because we're putting you in the perspective of the character, and yeah, they don't understand what's happening, so you don't understand what's happening. And yeah, so you're experiencing this, and sometimes it makes it more horrifying. Like, you're like, I don't know what's happening. How are you supposed to survive this? I loved the beauty of it, the dark, visceral beauty of it, of the movie. I thought it was great. It's got a lot to play with. I enjoyed it a lot. I think also that it has, personal opinion, I think it has the scariest scene in any movie of the year, which is that bear screaming with the lady's voice that it killed.
I don't think that you're alone there. I saw that online somewhere too. That was one of the scariest.
Freaking horrifying. Yeah. It was horrifying. It was disturbing. It was horrifying, but also amazing, and I loved it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I was a fan of that one too, but when I was watching it, I didn't consider it horror, and my small demon brain would get confused when you don't directly tell me what's happening. So a lot of times I'm like, well, this movie is okay. It just was left too many questions for me to answer at the end. I wasn't focused on, like, the awesomeness of it. And that's another one where, like, I didn't really consider that one very horror. That one would probably be in my near misses for the year. But it was, like, overall, like, not necessarily horror.
I think that's another fair, like, perspective. I do think it's right on that edge.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think it was more so than Venom, but yeah. Think it's on that edge. I do think it's on that edge, I agree.
And good sci-fi, I think, kind of crosses that line really well without crossing it. And so if you're doing it right, you're doing it right.
Yeah.
All right, number five. So my number five is a movie called The Ritual. And I don't know if it came out this year or last year, but
I think we had concluded that it technically was last year, but the years blend together and we've never really held ourselves to that.
Huzzah!
Because it's weird.
But I just saw it this year, and I thought it was really cool.
It's amazing.
I think it should be probably higher on my list than it is, but the top four for me are things that I thought were, like, just stunning. The Ritual is a great movie. I don't even want to talk about anything about it. I want everyone to go see it. It's even better experience than Mandy. I would totally watch it again, though. That's the only difference. It's like I would love to watch that movie again. And
I would too.
And the main actor in it is the guy from one of the best Black Mirror episodes called White Christmas. And so, the dude in the cabin with John Hamm. So.
And you have no excuse. It's super easy to watch because it's on Netflix.
Boom. You got it. Number five.
Number five for me was probably... I'm going to guess it was your number four. You Might Be the Killer?
Nope.
Higher up. My number five was You Might Be the Killer. I like to... sometimes when I'm putting these top 10 lists together, I kind of like to include one horror movie from every subgenre, if possible.
Mm-hmm.
And my top horror comedy of the year was You Might Be the Killer. I thought that it was just... It was really well done. It was a fun take on parodying. And I don't think that I think it's worth mentioning that, like, they had a ridiculously tight production time and a low budget. They did this thing in, like, 3 weeks, didn't they? Isn't that what they said, Ifrit?
It was crazy, yeah. It was crazy how fast they did it.
And
then
on top of doing it that fast... What?
Don't talk about too much more, because we can talk about it when I talk about it. Because it'll be one that I want to talk about a bit.
Okay. As long as you, If you mention the same, as long as you mention this thing, I'm going to mention it if you don't mention it.
But, okay, cool.
Okay, that's fine. Let's move on.
All right. Was that your number four?
That was my number five.
Number five. Okay. Yeah. My number four is, we're getting in the top four here, so, you know, I'm going to drum roll, but not really. My number four was Hereditary. I thought, I went into Hereditary kind of not knowing what to expect, and I saw it without Sickle at one of the cheap theaters, and holy shit, I was just so impressed. Like, everything that happened in that film, I was just amazed by. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't sure what was happening. They pull you in different directions. They mislead you, and it's absolutely fantastic and creepy and scary and unsettling. I'm even talking about it, I'm getting demon goosebumps because I'm just like, oh, that movie was so crazy. Like, I thought it was so good. I thought it was so good.
It's so unsettling. It's my number two. So when we get to it, we'll,
sure. we can talk about it more.
Yeah, it is. It's so unsettling and disturbing. And that final scene is just so difficult to leave the theater with.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there
like, what the heck is going on? And yeah. Then, oh my God, yeah, it's just...
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. My number four was probably not a popular opinion. It is Apostle, which is a Netflix original. It's got this Wicker Man-like feel to it, but it's... way better than Wicker Man. I mean, especially the remake. Let's not even make comparisons. But when you throw the word or the title Wicker Man around, people are like, "Oh, gross! Really? It's an instant aversion." But this one has such this like really cool, almost Guillermo del Toro-esque dark fantasy twist to it. That's like
cool.
Really sadistic dark twist. And because you know it's a cult movie where you're like. They're really not worshiping anything. They're all just crazy people. And then it's just like, oh, wait, are they crazy people? Or is there really actually something they're worshiping? And so it gets this... It's cool. I like that part of the twist. I like the... It's got some great actors in it. I don't know. I recommend it. It's a good one.
Yeah, I actually want to see it based off of what you're saying there, because that's not what I saw when I looked at that movie on Netflix. So.
It is slow. Like, I mean, like, let's go into it knowing it is a slow burner. I mean, it is like the original Wicker Man, where it takes some build. It's about the atmosphere. It's about the characters and the acting. So, I mean, it is on that end of the spectrum of horror. So keep that in mind, but it's a good story. I liked it.
All right, number three. So my number three is another Netflix movie. Netflix was on fire this year. But it wasn't a movie, it was a series, and so this is my second series on my list, which is The Haunting at Hill House. I thought...
Amazing inclusion.
I thought The Haunting at Hill House was like, it's revolutionary. There's only one, hint, series I think is doing better than Haunting at Hill House, and that is saying a lot, because... To me, that was like a shining star of horror this year, and it was a show. And so everyone like really focuses on American Horror Story, but I think there's a lot of better television horror shows out there than American Horror Story, and we're seeing that finally start to break through with Haunting of Hill House. If you saw the movies and you weren't watching it because the movies were crappy, I would highly suggest just forgetting the movies exist and watching it. There's great actors in this show. It's well written. It's exciting and dark, and I don't know, it is a journey to watch it, and then you can go back there and watch it again and you find out so much stuff that you didn't know before.
Well, and you see all the ghosts hiding in the background.
Yeah, and that's another creepy part too. You will be unsettled watching this show if you're at all into horror and you like it. You it's easy. I was doing it and it was fun and I loved it, and it was a cool experience, and I think The Haunting at Hill House definitely earned its spot in my top 10 list this year.
Yeah, I love that inclusion, man. That's such a good one. My number three, this falls into that kind of same thing I was talking about earlier with, like, I always try to find a horror comedy if I can, as long as there's one that's worthy. And then I always try to find a foreign horror film to see if there's any that I caught that I was like, you know, that was really good.
And unlike Sickle, I hate reading subtitles, so I never watch foreign horror films.
But he has seen this one,
yes,
and
have.
It was
And it
Terrified.
Was in my nearly there, yeah. It was in my nearly theirs.
Yes. Terrified, I thought, was one of the scariest movies of the year. I loved a lot of the imagery. I thought the character, like, there was this good, like, just balance between, like, the legit scary moments and the creature people and the goofy characters. I thought that they were just, like, it was really nice. Like, you'd even have, like, in the same scene where you're like, is that dead body gonna move? And then the people are, like, goofing around in the background. And you're like, I wanna laugh, but I'm also thinking that body's gonna move. You know, it's, I don't know, I loved it. I thought it was a really fun, unique, haunted house type movie. That, yeah, I think that it's worth seeing if you can put up with subtitles.
I agree. I think the unique, fun, haunted house movie thing is a very interesting way to put it. I think what I got confused about was maybe some translation barrier stuff where I didn't really understand what the hell was going on. I just liked some of the horror aspects of it, and that really got me, because I was like, I'm not sure why they're doing this or who these people are, and they don't take the time to explain it, and I don't know if that's just a cultural thing or not, and that's kind of what burned me on it. And I was just like, you know, don't watch it if you're dumb, I guess is what I'm saying. You're good to watch it if you're intelligent at all, but if you're like me and you just need, like, dumb horror, then you might not enjoy it as much. But there is some legitimately scary scenes in that show. Like, no joke. There was some really creepy scenes in that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, number two. My number two, runner-up, I guess we'll say, was Channel Zero, The Dream Door. So Channel Zero has been putting shows out since 2016. They started off with, what is it, Candle Cove? Candle Cove is a really creepy story, and it's absolutely fantastic. I would say that it's probably one of the best ones. Then they did The House, The No End House, which is a very interesting story, and it's kind of creepy about, like, you know, different kinds of human things that humans have to deal with all the time that we don't have to deal with as hell dwellers. The third one was called The Butcher's Block, which is a little out there. Butcher's Block took some concepts and did some interesting things with them, but the whole point of Channel Zero is that they take inspiration from No Sleep creepypasta stories and turn them into 6-episode series that are like 50 minutes apiece, right? And they're 6 episodes. So it's really cool to have that kind of genre being represented in television now, because it's represented on, and I listen to a lot of podcasts because I drive and I don't like listening to Demon Children. It's represented very well in podcasts, and so, like, No Sleep Podcasts, Creepy, you know, there's tons of horror podcasts out there that you can, I mean, just Google it and you'll find them, it's not hard. But a lot of those have been doing that for years, and it's finally great to see someone like Sci-Fi doing something like Channel Zero. And The Dream Door was no exception. The Dream Door was amazing. It centered around this girl and her husband who basically find this door in their basement, and they go down into it, and they find this, like, really creepy guy named Pretzel Jack, who used to be the girl's imaginary friend. And Pretzel Jack is this weird representation of her emotions, and, like, starts killing people she gets angry with, and then it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and it's a great story. But one of the creepiest parts of the show is that Pretzel Jack is, all the stuff's done practically, the majority of the stuff's done really practical. So Pretzel Jack is actually a contortionist, or like a real life professional contortionist, and he does all of his own movements and stuff, and it is it's so unsettling to watch a professional contortionist move around and kill people. Just 100% great. But I'm really excited Channel Zero exists, and I'm hoping that they never stop it, because they have so much inspiration from the internet that they never really have to go looking for much. They just have to find the right story, and they've really been killing it. So if you haven't seen Channel Zero, I highly suggest going to watch any of them. The first 3 seasons are on Shudder, and you should be, if you are like horror at all, you should be subscribing to Shudder. It's great.
Yeah.
There's multiple movies on our list that are on Shudder right now. Terrified, You Might Be the Killer, Channel Zero, a lot of them. I think Leprechaun Returns might even be on there, but Mandy's definitely on there, and Behind the Scenes with Mandy.
Yeah.
So Shudder and Netflix are your kind of horror go-tos as far as I can tell. But yeah, Channel Zero. Go check it out if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's... I think that, like, you could say that... you could make an argument that Haunting on Hill House is the best, like, TV show season of the year or whatever. You could make the argument, but the best horror series that's got multiple seasons, like, Channel Zero blows American Horror Story out of the water.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even close.
Not even. And the reason I like Channel Zero over American Horror Story is American Horror Story has to be episodic in a long-term sense, because it's on like a broadcast television. It's not broadcast, it's cable, but it's a channel that doesn't really care about itself, I feel like. Channel Zero, they do specifically in 6 episodes. There's no more than 6 episodes ever. So you have a whole self-contained story in 6 episodes, and that is amazing. Like, that's like the Defenders. Like, that's stuff that works, you know? And it's, yeah, you don't have to sit through a bunch of filler because someone decided that they wanted to put 4 more episodes in a season.
Yeah.
So, agreed.
Yeah. My number two was your number. Good, forgot your number, but Hereditary.
Four, yeah.
Is my number two. Just, you know, piggybacking off what you said, I kind of already said what my piece on it as well. It's definitely one of the best horror movies. It sticks with you after you've seen it. Mm-hmm. It's got this depth to it of its impact on you, where you're walking away with the darkness of it. But while I commend it for that, it's also why it's number two and not number one, because I have little interest in watching it again and doing that to myself again.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, one of the things I thought was really unique about Hereditary was you couldn't really tell who the main character was, and you think you know it, and then you're, like, totally not right.
Yeah.
Or at least I wasn't. And I thought it was a really cool adventure. I don't know if I'd watch it again, mostly for the same reasons I wouldn't watch Terrifier again. Because I've seen it, and it's really crazy, but it is, like, emotional. You know, you have to go through that journey, and even if you've seen it once, it's still rough.
Yeah.
Because it twists and turns you. It'll get you. Because you're like, yeah, you're not going to forget it. Yeah. I don't want to go into spoilers too much, because I really think people should watch it, but Hereditary deserves a watch.
Yeah.
All right. Number ones. The number one movie on my top 10 list for the year is You Might Be the Killer. I thought that this movie, everything about this movie for me was awesome. Let's just start with the slasher killer. So the guy in the mask and the design of that, I talked to the dude at Telluride Horror Show about it. I really thought it was unique and I loved it and got insight into why they did it that way and how they did it. And I thought it was cool. I think it's iconic. I hope and think that they have created a really new iconic slasher, and it's really fun because of the next reason, which is based on that Twitter conversation between Chuck Wendig and Sam, I can't remember his last name, but that is an amazing premise for a movie, and what they were doing was like improving a conversation between Cam's counselor and his buddy, and they turned it into a film, and the premise was perfect, and it was exactly the right way to do a meta horror comedy film. Is perfect.
Yep.
I think that the idea that, you know, it's like, so there's a movie called The Final Girl that came out, and it was very similar to You Might Be the Killer, but it was a little bit too cheesy, right? This movie kind of did a lot of what The Final Girl did, but it did it in a more like horror way, and the end is great, and the people in the film, the actors and actresses are fantastic. I love how they set it up for an additional sequel. Like Sickle was saying before, they did it in such a short time that it's amazing the quality you get for what they put into that. It's insanity. It's insane. I don't understand how they put something together that was so good in the time that they had. Makes it merits more. Like, they should be giving the company and the director and all that more to do because they're obviously good at it.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of that, like, it's even more incredible when you consider that the story is built around, it jumps around in time like Pulp Fiction, but instead of giving you increments or like set time frames, like this happened at 10:15 a.m. or whatever, it's based on the number of camp counselors that are dead. It's jumping around in time based on the number of dead bodies, and so they're having to try to balance that, make sure that they've got in the right order, make sure the right camp counselors are dead, and they don't actually put one that's alive when they died 3 camp counselors ago on the screen. They got to make sure they keep up all that on top of the fact that they ran it on a 3-week production time.
Yeah, there was it's just such a. To me, that means it's such a well-done film. Like, you can't ask for more when you're talking about that kind of Memento-esque continuity, and you're getting exactly what you need and not having to question every minute of it. I think when you watch You Might Be the Killer, you're involved in it, and you don't really see yourself. You don't sit there and be like, well, wait, if he was there, why wasn't he doing this? And it's just like, you can enjoy it. You're just watching an amazing horror film, and you don't have to ask yourself really dumb questions about why the horror's happening.
Yep.
So, that's why You Might Be the Ghost is my number one. I actually just watched it before the podcast, because I wanted to make sure I was talking about it right, and I was in the right spot, but... I think it's my, yeah, it's such a fantastic movie, and I'm a huge fan of meta horror, like New Nightmare and things like that, and a lot of Scream always will be my favorite genres, and so You Might Be the Killer is definitely my favorite movie of the year.
Yeah, fits right in there. Mm-hmm. My number one didn't even make your list, which is A Quiet Place. It I think part of that comes down to subjectivity. Mm-hmm. In addition to the objectivity of it. I think objectively I liked it in the sense that I think it used a horror vehicle of these monster alien things that track you by sound to really bring together like the relationship dynamics of this family and the tragedy that they had to find a way to the love of the family had to survive the tragedy that they experienced, and I really liked that about it. I thought it was a really well done movie. I thought the acting was great from top to bottom, from the kids to John Krasinski and his directing. I loved all of that about it. But then what put it ahead of everybody else for me is that it has a lot of rewatchability to me. I was really entertained by it. I like monster movies. It's got a cool monster in it. Mm-hmm. And so even like really appreciating it as a film and cinematically, the first time I watched it, when I was done watching, I was like, I'd totally watch that again, because I was also entertained by like the monsters and some of the cool set pieces that they did.
Yeah, I think this one is another one like Venom and Annihilation for me. Like, I just didn't really consider it too horror. I mean, this one is way more horror than Annihilation and Venom, but it still just seems more sci-fi to me than anything. And I think this is why I kind of got into a little spat about it with Bird Box and Quiet Place, because I actually feel like Bird Box is more of a horror film than Quiet Place. But maybe it's just because I need to watch Quiet Place again. Because I remember, like, lots of stuff happening in Quiet Place, but it made me feel more like I was watching, I think it's Signs, is what I was thinking.
Yeah, Signs. Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Cornfields and the aliens, and you're picking up on...
Yeah, and so, like, that's the idea, and I was like, I never really considered... Signs has some pretty creepy scenes in it, but it wasn't a horror movie, and that's why I'm kind of pushing it outside the realm of horror again. But you're not wrong about anything you said. It's a fantastic movie. It's got a great story. It's got interesting characters in it. It's got a sweet monster. It just wasn't horror in my head. So that's why I think it was not even on my list at all.
Yeah. That's fair. Cool. Well, I guess that's our top 10 lists for 2018. I think we ran long, but thanks for hanging in there with us, guys. Yeah. Next week... We're going to do probably a couple little updates on the news of stuff that we see, but we're going to look ahead to 2019 and take a look at the movies that we're most anticipated to see for the upcoming year. And then maybe, we'll see, I may still do that mirror experiment sometime between now and next week.
Cool.
I will do it. I just got to hang in there. I'm going to just have to find the time. And the resources.
And the mental, like, stimulation.
Fortitude, yes.
Fortitude, that's the right word.
So. Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. Like, comment, subscribe. Tell us what you hate. Tell us what you like. Let us know how you feel about our top 10 lists, because that's really what I'm interested in.
Ooh, yeah, let's hear it.
Cool. All right. Well, bye, everyone.
Bye.